good to be out. And like I said, this is my first golf meeting, and I'm looking forward to it. But I don't think I've been noticed to see that phone tonight. I mean, he's giving me a hard time yesterday about being there, but he didn't set it up for us. But I'm pretty used to get some of the spots in that house. He's going to take him pretty well from the things I've done the last few years. But I used to take him to film people. And they would call me at the spur of the moment. It could be 5 in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, whatever the case may be. And just call me and I'd have to jump and run. And it'd be so bad in a place I've never been. Just one of those things. I'm not as bad as he had to walk right on the land. But I'm looking forward to it. Even though I'm excited. I'm excited to be able to have the opportunity and to get to do it. So hopefully I won't let nobody down. Hopefully I'll do a good job for you. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it.
The line also stood by the course.
And now I'm going to have to buy a bottle for it the other way, and now I'm going to buy it for it. Then I'm going to paint it in the city where the whole prophet was. Now when the prophet who had brought him back from the way home, he said, "It is the man of God who is disobedient to the way of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord has delivered him to the lion, which has caught him and killed him, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke to him." And he went to his son and said, "Thou art talking to me." So they said, "Then the man of God crossed over the road, and the donkey and the lion standing by the corpse. The lion had not eaten the corpse, nor torn the donkey. And the prophet took up the corpse of the man of God, laid it on the donkey, and brought it back. So the man of God came to the city for oil, and commanded him. Then he laid the corpse in his own tomb, and they lied over them, saying, 'Alas, my brother.' So long after he had buried him, they went to his son, saying, 'For I am dead, you'll bury me in the tomb where the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones.' So the same as he cried out by the word of the Lord against the altar and vessel, and with all the tribes and the high places which are in the cities of Samaria, will surely come to pass. After this is read, their man did not turn from his evil ways, but he has made a priest from every class of people to the high places, to every wish, he consecrated them, and he turned all the things to the high places. And this man was the son of the house of Jeroboam, so as to exterminate and destroy it from the face of the earth." Alright, so a little background information. We have the kingdom now divided. There was Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Jeroboam had come up, and Rehoboam became king of Solomon's son, and he turned from that country to kings, came to Israel, and his group of people came back among them, and Rehoboam decided to listen to the young men. Those were his own peers. They started to listen to him, and started to listen to the old men that said and worked with Solomon the prophet. And he treated Jeroboam in a bad way, and Jeroboam and his people left, and we have divided the kingdom. And Jeroboam went to us and decided over a little bit of time that when it got to the feast days, the days were all weeping, we ended up going back to Jerusalem to all for the altar and then to take and carry on the things that they needed for the old law. And so he decided, well, I'll make a couple of new altars so that they will take and go to them instead of going back there, and their hearts would go back to God and they'll leave them. He started creating these places to worship, and then God said, "Just stop it here. I'll see you to give him this warning, hoping that he would take and then change." And then this prophet, he does what the Lord says. He goes up there, he clears off of them, all these things, he turns the king down, he leaves. And then the prophet, just wants to do this, just on the side, just very interested in the man, sends out to him, lies to him, and then he says, "The story follows." And I think there's some very good points to get out of this. And I think the first thing is that God does not indulge in self-contradiction. That old prophet tells the other prophet. He said, "Well, you know, God says, and I'm a prophet, he talks to me. He told me that it's all right. You can come back. You can do it. You know, it's all right. You did what you wanted. Come on back, and I'm going to do it. Because that's what the Lord wants." Now we know the Lord spoke to them by Hunter Eden and said, "Because you did not follow my command, you did those things my command, you're going to die." So that proves to us that God does not indulge in self-contradiction. Which means, in the religious world as a whole, when someone teaches something that contradicts God's word, you know it is a falsehood. He has not changed his mind. He will not change his mind. The things that he's put in place, the things that he has set up, they're going to stand. They're going to stick. So when you see someone come in and say, "Well, I've got a new doctrine that is delivered to me by an angel that I recommend it," you know, some people have even talked to people that teach you those things. "New doctrine is delivered to me by an angel that sent down these tablets, and I have all these things, and I'm delivering to you this new testament from Jesus." Now, there's a story over there. That's self-contradiction over there. God doesn't say that. He doesn't endorse that. He doesn't do that. And so one of the things I've ever been able to learn from this is that if God says something, he means it. No matter what it is. You can't call me a rebel. So if I was trying, those prophets made themselves real nice and inviting almost as if, "Well, he just said this is the Lord." God's going to say, "You got trouble with all these things you're chasing now. Long trip, long journey, you better go tonight. God wants to bless you in this." He means that really good, really. That's what religion of the world does. They make all these boxes that they create, and they add to and subtract God's word says, real pleasant, real nice. If you don't keep these real things, God's going to bless you in this. Or when you come here, look at this, I'm not going to be part of God. Why aren't you happy? Aren't you enjoying these things? I'm going to talk to this, it's profitable. But it makes it sound like you're God, isn't it? But it's true, it's not just like what happened to the church through that whole process. You know, he said, you have good faith in my word. Now, he was all part of the man, I see this. And he needs you back on the road, get back on the right side. Now, he could have said, oh, you say, right? The only thing he's doing is, well, I understand somebody lied to you. Somebody's going to feed you wrong, then I understand only what it's lying. Now, if I didn't know it, I'm going to say, he could have said that. But he's the one you did this, everybody was. You know what it was. I give it to you. I didn't come to tell you any differently. I give it to you. Let me give it to somebody else. And they lied to you. They mistreated you, but you still got to pay for it. Your lies is what you pay for because you're the agreement. Now, I just know, you know, this person, you know, I'm a kind of person, say, I like to do the best I can for everybody. You know, somebody lies to somebody, you know, I'll take it over to their liquor store, and she'll come up, what's that person going to have to do that? Well, that's your part of you, you probably lied to. So I'm going to have to do that off their list. If there's proof that they lied to them, it's true. God doesn't imagine that. Just because you go somewhere else, and somebody gets up in the same manner that I want to do this morning, and lies to you, and you're not willing to say God's word and make sure that that's what you want, God's going to do the same to you that he did to this prophet. He's already promised that. You follow after me? Well, I will take the curse for you. I'll remind you of things that the sheep and the goats. Maybe they'll read it or you're not. It doesn't matter if somebody gets up in front of you and lies to you. Or if this leads you, or grants you down the wrong path. It's not going to matter. It doesn't matter here, that is. The prophet took off and headed back home. The lion came out to him. The man went out to him. Now, remember, he's trying to let you know after everything he's doing, the God was with him. He made it up there. He prophesied in the office of prison, his script. The king stretched out his arm and hit it up. I don't have any more proof for you men to see that God was with that man. He had to go through the mother that God told him these things. Everything he told was so far to come to pass. I need to call him. The man lied to him. But he still cost him his life. We can learn from this lesson that we need to take God's word and stand on God's word firmly and follow it. And not listen to others, but let's say they're coming from God's word as well. So when we talk about the religion that we're trying to teach those, the world to teach those, that there's a problem with these other religions, we can come to this church and make that point. That if it's not in God's word, if God's word is commanded, if he doesn't say that to them that we have, then it's wrong. That would be self-contradicting, but we are not involved in that. Another point is religious leaders do not always tell the truth. That's where it goes wrong with the first test. The religious leaders do not always tell the truth. Here's this prophet. I mean, you know the prophet. He's been a prophet for years, right? And selfishly, he said, well, you know, I'd like to have a little time with this man. God put him up here, and he told me, he said, I'd like to have a little bit more information myself. I'd like to have a little more time with him. To stand and talk to him, to discuss some things with him, see what God's going on, to pray with him. So selfishly, he decided, well, I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to bring him back over there again. So that was easy. And he ended up lying to the man and talking to God. So he was a religious leader, right? There's others, there's ministry, and all that was good, and probably wild, he has to show those things for God. He's been a prophet for quite a while. But he lied. And why did he lie? For his own personal gain. For what he wanted. When we think of the human race, the religious world as a whole, we can say, you know, you're in the church of Christ. There's those that are taking the dream of God and trying to hate from God's word. That almost always gives to cause of selfish goals. That's what matters. It may be the preacher himself wants more money. Well, let's say he can bring in things that are not spiritual, we'll give it to our crowd. Nobody will come in. Well, I pray it for us. Or maybe it's even in the audience. You know, sometimes we don't like to think of that. But one group is happy, one group's not happy. So they take the best split off, the first off. You know, that's not the end of it, and that's not that group, and that this is the truth, that's the truth. And we know they make that right now, but they're still doing it for their own personal goals, their own personal reasons. I think they're talking to people. Religious leaders that are all in their church. I was a person, that's how I think of this, when I went on them doing this right and they got this point. I think of the post. We're here, the new post. We're getting ready to be chosen. And they were in there and they were bringing some others coming out to show me. They were going through the aisle with a microphone. And they just asking people, well, what do you hope the new post? It's going to change. And as soon as I heard the question, I'm like, wow. You know, what do you hope the post will change? That means God wants a lot of change, but God wants the post change. Well, you know, it's just good common sense, and I like to refer to that, but I think we all have good common sense if we just use it. A lot of religious matters are too clear if we just use good common sense. Well, they're going around and they're acting, and they're doing all these things over there. I want them to be a parent, or I want this to happen, or they were there. I mean, it's just everything in the world you ever heard. But come out of your people's mouth. They invite you to the point, what do you hope the Pope changes? And they say to them, all right, this new man's coming in. Why do you hope he's going to change when he's not now? Because back to the religious leaders. If he's able to get changed whenever he wants, somebody's lying to somebody. Why does he do that? Their reservation again. He wants people to be happy with him. He's a new post. He wants to continue to have all of his followers. So again, he goes back to how he was. Why is this man going around? He might have got a lot of TV shows. So go see what's going on outside after he comes in. No doubt he's going to refer to some of these things. And he's going to get the people all they want. They're going to have power with him. Those are religious leaders. All right, we're going to get over there to the post. We're going to do better religious leaders. How can you see them change? Well, we say, you know, they have their views on this, they have their views on that, and there's a real stick on this one moment, or a situation comes up, well, I can see it, and everything else, we let that slide, and that's kind of fine at the moment. Well, if you can do that, it's a lie. It's not the truth. Maybe we go back to our first point, that God doesn't know the self-contradiction. If this is how God is always expecting you, so I'm going to tell you after that he just cannot enjoy that. How do you need to do that after you say, oh, you know how I think we have to die, and age, and everything, God? I just don't know what it's at. He wants to be lying to you. So as far as this can go, God is going to enjoy that. So if you come up and say, well, yeah, now he's accepted, that's fine. We have to have all the things out through the church, and it's all right. So he kicked him out.
Oh, but this is so sincere.
they were still disobedient to God. And we just go on and on and on. They were still calling because they were disobedient. You know, still look at someone and say, hey, man, they're not going to be Christian. You know, they're not going to say, I'll give it that. There's no excuse for disobedience. Marriage is obedient, but not atoned for the blame disobedience. It just is. I know people will say, well, you know, so-and-so, he preached for 20 years. Then, you know, he raised his kids up, maybe this, maybe that. But now, you know, his wife died, and he's taken, he's married somebody that he'll be, you know, married to, and now they're doing this, and they're doing that. But you know, he's such a good preacher. So now the kids will be here. You ever had an excuse come from somebody? They don't know who they're talking to. And they're discussing something. And I was showing her, I said, this is absolutely wrong. But she goes, and then this is your father, your grandkids, double back to the grandpa, double the grandpa was so good. I said, I don't know what they're doing there. I said, they're going to excuse them for what they're doing now. But that lady was just so scared. Look at what they used to do, look at what they're doing in the dead. How much does that matter? Look what they're doing now. Remember this prophet. He did exactly what the Lord said, didn't he? He went up there, went up there, he stood before the king. Oh, tell me what they used to say. Hey, those right there, right there, you're wrong. Right there, you're wrong. I'm going to prove that you're wrong. I'm going to prove that God is just wrong. He was mad. He reaches a hand out here. He's going to hit him. You know, look at that. Papa still standing strong. The arm lifted up. Little brother in the house, he still stands right there. And then he just said, all on the way back. He's leaving. He's just turning the kids out and down. He's going home. Call the home daddy. Tied his feet. That's him under the tree. But that prophet comes and lies to him. He turns around. Turns back. He eats and drinks. He did something like that. Still cost him his life. So doesn't matter how obedient he was, maybe hours before that. Just hours, little over years, somebody said, well, back in the day, man, they don't know. This is just hours different here, so what? Maybe it's only the moment. Between very obedient and disobedient. Cost him his life. So then they have to know, the right thing to do. You're going to do something wrong, it cost you your life. Such good work for me, I don't let him cry. Doesn't say that either, does he? He said, you disobey my way, that's going to cost you. That same principle still stands today. Just because I was that guy possible, just because I've done all this good work, I've been faithful for 30, 40, 50, 60 years, when I was young, you know, maybe you're old enough to get 15, 20, whatever the case may be, it doesn't matter how faithful you've been, how obedient you are at that time.
Right there, one lump sum. Side of the
They ain't going back to disintegration. We got part of the hell, didn't we? Anyway, we got, shall we say, 2.5. About 2.5 of the command out of 10 of them. 2.5. Well, I'll tell you, you know what you did, right? But then he says, to turn around. So, that some of them stop us here, because we need to hardly back to the first two. We need to get a trust. So, actually, we need to get a trust. Still talking to I do this a lot of time talking to people. He said, well, you know, I'm a faithful Christian. I do this, I do that, I do that. God rather accept me. And then something just happens. All of a sudden, standing on the chest and saying, this is pissing off a sailor. I'm just carrying on, and I'm like, woo! But there's still friends that don't do this. They're still going to die. Because there's other things, but that's still true of doing it. I got a lady in school I work with. She's fine, lady. I like her a lot. There was an opportunity to come up. There was a grant that had to do with music class, and all the first graders, including the teachers, including myself, had an opportunity to go and listen to a big orchestra over in Jacksonville. Full-paced trip. Every day. He bought a Sunday. That's all time it was. All Sunday. Had to make purchases to go on that trip. No matter what. That's what I said. That's one of those two trips I was coming up with. She was not ever expected you to go. Well, she knew that I wouldn't miss services for anything. And I was asking her, you dance? But she always talked about all this stuff she does for the church and all this and that. She was like, oh, yeah, I didn't miss it. So I looked at her and thinking, you know that I am faithful and religious, and you knew without even thinking that I would not miss. But you claim to be as religious as I am, and you would be happy. To me, that doesn't make any sense, does it? But I have no good point. There is this little boy, he's a Christian. He's very autistic. I mean, very autistic. He's been going through pre-K since he was 2.5, but he was so bad. As long as you know, he really works with him. He's been there. She looks back at him, so she has got a future for him. That is his sense. He's really looking at culture and stuff. That is his sense. So she looks back, she goes, I'm going to go to these two guys tomorrow. Yeah, my sister's come back. And we're having to have this discussion. And he went there and he goes, no, man, he goes, I got a church off there. This is where all this is there. And I said, I told him things, y'all. I was focused on. And he goes, no, man, he said, I got a church off there. And she goes, where do you go? He said, all day. This is funny, you know, because he left that to his church. I'm like, all day, all day, it was burned out. And she goes, well, what? He said, he brought all that every morning, sir. Then he said, he's more than a I don't know. Yeah, he put it in her place. I couldn't, you heard me, and I knew you wouldn't care. That wasn't my fault at all. But you know what it is? That my sister has all these problems, and then he just puts her in her place. She got them. All she wanted to do was go to you. Okay, now, what would you say? He just said, yeah, the man was good enough. And he's no man. I said, all right, I'm not going to miss. She's 43. She doesn't understand partial obedience. But he knows that. And he knew that he would not have to do that. Now he's not coming out of the bed. Am I obedient or not? But am I partially obedient? I just said, hey, God, I think you are all good Christians. I follow what the Lord told me to do. We have three good intentions of doing it. Some may lie to him. Some may trust him. He was very sincere. But he turned around and just was partially obedient. Then what happened to him? They cost him his life. How about us today? Put that in our perspective. This ain't me myself. I got full intention to do what God tells me to do. So maybe I'm sitting there, and maybe this happens to preachers as well. You start sitting there with somebody discussing the subject, and then somebody's trying to lie to you, and then they get you all wound up in it, and they start feeding you little bit by little bit. And then I start drinking away, yeah, I've been for years on that, preaching and teaching and helping. And every man of this, all that junk, somebody is drifting away, somebody is going astray. I'm not obedient no more. I'm not partial obedient. I mean, besides, we got to have some more music up here. You know, it's just a freaking band up here, so I'm having a good time. Yeah, I'm not sure obedient at that point. I'm going to preach out God's word. But I'm going to accept something else. Because somebody else is going to call me in today. So, am I going to be like that prophet? Absolutely. God is going to tell us that, though. God is going to tell us what he wants of us, and he's also going to tell us what's going to happen. The Bible is in this way. The Bible is not a way of meaning. My other day, we're in the life of me. And I'm not going to go back and trust God's word. I will perish. That's just the shirt of it. Just the shirt of it. One of our verses left me to one of the invitation. We're doing a Bible class. I thought this was good. This is just reading the whole chapter. So I'm going to work this with the words of invitation. But I do have to leave you with these ideas. That even as Christians, if you're the man of God, even as Christians, we can learn some of these lessons too late. He did. Yeah, I know when he got up from that table, after hearing what God told him, that already doing everything that God had performed through him and in front of him, when he got up from that table, he knew that his life was gone. He knows those lessons too late. That is a lesson too late. If you're in some kind of position, you're not following, you're not as faithful as you should be, make sure you make it right today. Don't waste time. Man, I'll tell you, I'll also tell brothers, if you want to make it right, God's now with you at 9 times a day. And you know, we're only going to come up with the same, but come up with this thing. We'll take care of it now. But anyway, the rest of the church, we'll come back up in about 18 minutes.